exactly, Victor. I'm super nervous. I've never spoken at a retreat, and I've never spoken on a topic, so we'll see how this goes. I don't know, I'm super grateful and honored to be asked to speak here, because like, this is my area, and this is the retreat that like sold me on recovery, like being in the fellowship in Narcotics Anonymous. So I came here like 4 years ago, and I had like 11 months clean, and I didn't know what to expect, and they asked me to do clean time, and I did it. I literally cried in the middle of it because it was so beautiful. And now like 4 years later, we're about to celebrate 5 years in a couple weeks, and now I'm speaking here. It's just, it's a surreal moment. But they asked me to speak on this topic because I literally just got done with step 9, and I'm like just, I made my first amend like a month and a half ago, and it was insane. But for the longest time, like I have this horrible pattern whenever I'm doing step work where like I'll do a step and then I'll put my step work guide down and I won't pick it up for months. I'm like, it's that didn't sound good at all. It's a horrible pattern and I hate it. I don't know why I do it. I really don't, but like it's just like I'll put it down for months and then I'll finally pick it up. And like it took me a long time to look at eight. And like my sponsor and I were talking because it was like I knew the people that I had harmed and like most of them, and I knew that it was bad, and like I feel like whenever I put that pen to paper and put all their names down, they're like, it's reality and like it's gonna happen soon, and like it made me super nervous. But like even on top of that, like I keep seeing, I live in a small town, I literally live 5 minutes from here in Boswell, and I keep seeing people that I forgot to put their name on the list, and I'm like, oh, that's so shitty. Like, cause I'm shot out, I don't know about y'all, I'm super shot out, I have a horrible fucking memory. So like I can't remember half of the shit I did in active addiction and some of the people I harmed. But like in whenever I was writing on step 8, there's a question of like, did you make amends before you were supposed to? Because obviously like steps are there for a reason and in the order that they're supposed to be. And like I did whenever I got out of prison, I made amends to this girl, and like I had the wrong intentions in mind. Obviously I was like, I'm gonna make amends to this girl and I'm gonna get her back and it's gonna be awesome. But and like other than that, like I kind of had some good intentions, like I did want to make amends to her because I did wrong her, but the main intention was not the right one. So like I ended up doing that and it was beautiful actually, and I like cried and they cried because I made amends to her mom and her stepdad too, but like it wasn't the right time and I did it out of order, which wasn't good. And then there's the question of, is there a person or people that you don't want to make amends to? And I only have one of those and I hate her. She's my ex and like she hates me and talks shit on me to this day. And like there's always those people out there in the world that think that we're addicts and we never change. And like for me, I've noticed living in a small town that there's a lot of people like that, and it really bugs me sometimes because like I'm not the same person I was in active addiction. I wouldn't be doing this, that's for sure. I was a selfish person. I didn't want to do anything for anyone. But I finally made the list and everything, and we went over it, me and my sponsor, and like he's real weird. He does step 8, like step 9 is me and him going over it, and then I read over step 9. I didn't have to write anything, but go to my first amends. I did made amends with my brother because my sponsor told me, he's like, get one out of the way, you know, get an easy one out of the way, so that way whenever you go for a next one, it's going to be hard, it'll be easier. So I went and made amends with my brother because I never stole anything from him. I owed him $60, so he let me borrow it, and I made amends to him, and it was really cool. Like we just talked about life after, and I don't see my brother often. He lives in York, Pennsylvania, so I don't get to see him often, and made amends, we talked about life, and I was like, yeah, this is a setup for making amends to grandma and grandpa. And I don't know why in active addiction, I always felt like, I'm not gonna say it was okay for me to hurt my family, but I always stole from my family before I stole from anyone else. Like, I don't know why I did that. It doesn't make sense to me to this day. So like, my grandparents, my mom, those were the two people that I took the most from, like in active addiction. So like, not long ago, maybe a month ago, I was going to the beach with my girlfriend and her kids, and we were about to leave, and my grandparents' beach house that's where we were going. And my mom and my grandparents were having a yard sale. We were sitting there, and I was like, Mom, can you go away, please? And I had to talk to my grandparents, and it was beautiful. And my grandma was like, you know, we've forgiven you already. And I'm like, yeah, that's not what this is about. See, like, making amends is not just saying sorry for me. Like, I can say sorry to anyone, anytime, but unless I put action behind it, then it doesn't mean anything. Like, I literally did that for how many years? How many years did I go to people, like, I wronged someone, and I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, people still do it to this day. Like, something really little, like a white lie, or even like something unintentional, they just say I'm sorry. But most of the time, I never made a sincere apology. I never made amends to someone, I should say. I never was sincere about it. And that's why I said to my grandma, my grandma was like, we've already forgiven you. You said I'm sorry whenever you got clean. I was like, yeah, grandma, I probably wasn't sincere. I was like, I probably just said that. I was like, I feel like I've never been sincere about anything in my life until I came into recovery. And like, it's crazy now looking back at, like, I was super afraid of making amends. I was super afraid of making the list, but like, it's been one of the most beautiful processes so far in my life. Like, I didn't think it would be so beautiful. Like, my grandparents, I probably stole $5,000 or more off of them, and then they literally bought me a car in active addiction. I was supposed to pay them back. I never paid them anything. So like, I probably owe them a lot of money. And my grandma was like, well, you're doing really good. And as I said about it, I was like, you know, part of amends is financial amends. Like, obviously, I know I took a lot from you guys, and we talked about it, and they're like, well, just make payments of $500 and we'll call it even because you're doing so well. And I was like, and we started crying, she started crying. I get emotional whenever my grandma gets emotional, because she's like all the blabbery one. And she's like, I'm like, but it was wonderful. Like, my grandpa's the old school grandpa. Like, you're tough. We don't talk about our feelings. He doesn't tell me he loves me all the time. Like, every time I see them, I tell my grandma I love her whenever we part ways. My grandpa doesn't do that every time. And like, he gave me a big, big hug, and he said he was proud of me and he loved me. And like, it's one of the best things in the world, man. Because I never had a dad growing up. My mom, obviously, whatever. I never had a dad either or. But so like, my grandpa was a big father figure to me. And like, whenever I wronged them and wronged my grandpa, it really hurt me. So like, him hugging me and telling me he loved me and proud of me is like, it's an amazing thing. And then like, it came to my mom, and I made amends to my mom, and it wasn't as emotional. Cause like, my mom and I are like best friends. She knows everything I've ever done in my life. I literally told her every single thing I've ever done. Cause like, she's done probably just as bad. She's not an addict, but she like tried everything, and she lived in Pittsburgh in the ghetto. That's why I'm black, just saying. That was a joke, but anyways, yeah. So she did a bunch of shit, but anyways. So like, I made amends to her, and she's just like, I was trying to figure out, like, am I gonna pay you, like, the shit that I did, like, stole from you? And she's just like, we'll figure it out, we'll be okay. And like, it's been a rough year, because her husband died of cancer 5 months ago. And it was really, really quick. He got diagnosed with cancer in November and died in March. So like, it happened really quick, and like, she's devastated. She doesn't know what to do with herself. She's alone all the time. And they literally bought a house a year before he died. So like, now she has this house payment. She doesn't have income because she can't work because she's disabled. So like, we don't know what's gonna happen. We're probably gonna have to move in with each other, and I don't wanna live with her. I did that for so long, and I hate it. She's a wonderful person, but that's what she's just like, we'll figure it out. And I wanted to know, like, do I have to pay you the money that I stole from you? Because it's like a lot. But like, am I going to pay you? She's like, we'll figure it out. Like, you know I love you. I've already forgiven you and everything. But that's all the farther I've been with the men so far. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know why I never thought I'd get to that point of like making amends. I always like, sometimes I'm like naive when it comes to like clean time and staying clean and being recovery. And I'm like, I look at the people that are like in steps ahead of me, and I'm like, I'm never gonna get there. Like, I'm just gonna, I don't know why I think that way sometimes, but like, coming into this and like actually being able to make those amends, and actually being able to financially make amends too, like actually being able to pay my grandparents and do that stuff is a blessing. I don't know, I'm super nervous, so I think I'm done. Thank you.
Thanks, Victor.
Yes, thank you, Victor. Next, we have Dennis F. from the Sun Valley Historic Meeting in the news area.
Ag name Dennis.
Yes.
It's really weird to sit down and share. I'd like to thank the committee for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope. It is always a privilege and an honor to give back to Narcotics Anonymous anytime, anywhere, because there's no question that this program saved my life. Thanks. Thanks for sharing. That was awesome. 8 and 9. I firmly believe that, like, it's really hard to separate and talk about the principles and steps without, they're all tied together. All the spiritual principles work with each other. They're never in conflict with the steps and the traditions. In saying that, like, for me, 8 and 9, the most important thing about 8 and 9 was that they were 8 and 9, because I wanted them to be 1 and 2. Right, because my self-centeredness, anytime that I got clean or someone gave me a reprieve or let me back in the house or whatever it might have been, like, it was like I wanted to say I'm sorry. And or the other thing, self-centeredness, was if I carried any guilt, if I felt bad about some shit that I did to you, I wanted relief for me from it. So I wanted to unburden myself from that feeling by telling you, I'm sorry, forgive me, because I didn't want to feel that anymore. So it was still extremely self-centered, but I wanted to run around and tell everybody I was sorry, and like, and every time that I did that, I never stayed clean, you know, and I wasn't sorry. I really wasn't, because everything that I know about life today, I learned in the process of working steps in Narcotics Anonymous. And when I got here, I didn't know anything about living. I didn't know anything about being a friend. I didn't know anything about integrity or kindness or any of that stuff. So I never wanted to work a step before I was actually on it, except for 9. You know, I did. I wanted people to forgive me, you know, because I felt like shit. I came in here, I felt like shit. I carried that stuff with me. I dressed up everything that we do when we get here. I dressed up the outside. I went to the gym like I was insane. I did all that stuff because I felt like shit on the inside, so I tried to dress up the outside. So anyway, in the process of working 1 through 7, especially 6 and 7. Like, I finished writing on 6 and 7, and my understanding of those steps did not even start until I was 8 and 9. 8 and 9 gave me a good opportunity to, like, really identify and work on my defects of character and my shortcomings. Because it started kicking my ass when I got to this point. But I remember telling my sponsor specifically, and I say this all the time when I share, is that he was talking about the freedom in working steps 8 and 9, and I had such a long list in my head of the horrible things that I had done and all the harm that I had caused. So I didn't want, I remember telling him, like, I'm pretty good on freedom. Like, you know, I think I'm, like, okay right here. And he just laughed at me because, you know, I never could wrap my mind around what a step could do for me before working the step, even though I tried all the time. Like, I, so, 8-step is made a list of all the people we had harmed, became willing to make amends to them all. That willing piece is, like, really big, because when I first started making the list, you know, I started writing about the harm that I'd done, and last night, speaker shared, and it was awesome, said about, like, able, or willing, unwilling, and unable. Like, how it's broken down. And, like, there was the ones, my sponsor had me do that. The ones are you willing to do right now? Which ones are do you want to wait on? Maybe willing to do later? And then there was a lot that were unable, because it was just nameless people, people who had passed on, people that I couldn't go make amends because there was a thing called a statute of limitations. Right, and it hadn't been 7 years yet, so I couldn't go. And that's what it says in our step. In the 9th step, we made direct amends except when it would harm ourselves or others. And, like, by telling on myself for crimes that people didn't know I committed, I would be harming myself. Or telling people that I did something to them that they didn't know about, like cheating in a relationship or so forth, would harm them. it could harm them. So my sponsor helped me break all that down, like, but I started making the list, and the spiritual principle that I found with eight is forgiveness. All about forgiveness. And forgiveness was a hard one for me, because our literature talks about, like, it's the separation that takes place. Like, we have to be able to separate, like, what we did from what was done to us. Like, a lot of the stuff that I did, the dirt that I did to people, in my head, I thought, well, they had it coming. I thought I was like this Robin Hood dude out there that don't, you know, like, or Dexter. Like, I only took out, you know, I only hit the people that had it coming because they were pieces of shit. Although I was a piece of shit too, but, you know. So I justified a lot of the stuff, like times when I was victimized justified me acting out and victimizing other people. As crazy as that sounds, it makes total sense to me. So the cool thing is, when I started doing this, I started seeing the magnitude of the harm that I'd done and the things that I did, and without realizing it, as I was making this list, I started to become the humility that takes place from working 6 and 7 started happening in my life. 6 and 7 wasn't just kicking my ass, it was also, I was getting that humility piece and the fact of, like, looking at a list of the shit that I did to people made it really hard for me to sit back in a meeting like I did all through 6 and take everybody else's inventory. It made me to, like, it was hard for me to judge you because of the shit you're doing or you did when I'm have it right in front of me what I did. You know what I mean? And I started, like, connecting things. Like, even though you might be doing something a little bit differently, when I look at the root of it, it's the same thing that I was doing here. So there's this, and I don't like using the word sin when it talks about recovery, but I saw a thing one time and it stuck with me. It said, don't judge somebody because they sin differently than you. But I started getting in touch with that, because the more I kept writing about the harm that I did and what the situation was and the defect and the shortcoming, all the stuff that was involved with it, I just started seeing that I did a lot. I did a lot of damage. I did a lot of harm. So I made the list, and in the process, like, the forgiveness piece was, there's a part in our literature that talks about, we start to learn it's more important to understand than to be understood. And, like, that was with that separation. Like, no matter what was done to me, I'm not responsible for what was done to me. Even today, I'm not responsible for anything that you say or what you do. I'm responsible for how I respond or react to it. I'm responsible for what I do all the time. And, like, that was real key in 8 and 9. And so in this process of forgiveness, I started being able to find the common denominator. Like, as I'm writing this stuff, I started just seeing, like, that similarity in harm, like things that people do, like judging people. I started seeing, I was more judgmental than I thought, and I started, that humility piece started kicking in, and I started to put effort into understanding where someone was coming from rather than trying to change their mind or trying to get them to see it my way, which is going on in the world right now on a massive scale. It's just, like, nobody is talking to listen, conversating to listen. They're waiting for the response to change somebody's mind. Nobody is open to that. And, like, that's where I was. And this step really helped me to, like, try to understand, put myself in their shoes. We talk about empathy here, but, like, until I'm able to, like, look at it from a different point of view than my perspective right now, I'm stuck. But if I can expand and look at it and, like, take with an open mind a consideration of a different point of view, then my perspective is just doubled or tripled or quadrupled. So I'm getting in touch with all this stuff without even knowing that I am, right? The one thing that I did know is that they say, write 8 like there is no 9, or don't think about 9. I don't know anybody, I don't even think that's possible. Because without playing that scenario through your head of what it's gonna be like when you actually sit down and face these people, like, if you could do that, then there's probably something wrong with you, really. But I tried to do that, and so I made the list, and I became willing. So then when I started on 9, it was the most amazing thing to me, because the people at the top of my list, there's this one dude, he lived in the same town as me the whole time through active addiction, through me being clean, like 5 years, I never ran into this guy, never saw him. And the first day that my sponsor said, okay, start making your direct amends, I pulled in this gas station. He's standing there pumping gas, looking at me, smiling like he was fucking waiting for me. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And it was like, and it just started happening. Like this thing, by this time, I was like really getting in touch with the concept of a higher power. Just something greater than something going on here that I really don't understand, but it's definitely happening. And like, it just started happening one after another. And then like with my family, it'd be like, everybody be together. And then it was just like, all of a sudden everybody would be gone except for like me and my sister. And it was just like, God was just like, go, it's now time, go. And so, it started flowing, and what I found was like the people that love me, who had seen me on this journey, like I realized that my amends started the day I made a decision to live this program. That's when it started, and I've been, amends is about amending my behavior and amending my ways, and like I started doing that when I started living the program to the best of my ability. But by the time I got on the ninth step and I went to make these direct amends, those people had already been so happy for so long now that I was back in their life, that it was like I was human again. I wasn't dead. That they had forgiven me a long time before that. So, but it was never even about that anyway, really. It wasn't about them forgiving me. Of course, that's nice, but in this process, without... all these principles have been kind of snuck in on me, really, the process of what this does. But what was happening was like I was learning how to forgive myself. Like I was letting stuff go. I was not going up to people and saying, I'm sorry, you know, give me another chance type thing. It was like, what I did was wrong. And it was owning it. It was being accountable. And so I started this process and I was told like, don't ambush, like don't wait till Thanksgiving dinner to bring up like, shit at the, you know, sorry it robbed everybody here, like that kind of, like, you know, don't force the situation, like let your higher power guide you through it. But financial amends, I made a separate list with that, and that was like child support, fines and restitution, all that kind of stuff. And I just set up payment plans, and I just started doing all that stuff, and I doubled up on all my payments because I was actually working and not getting high, so I could do that. And so I started making ground in my financial amends. And so I'm making my direct amends, then my indirect. I mean, I went to many gravestones of guys I grew up with, family members who passed on that I like didn't show up for their, that they died with bad blood between me and them. Of all the amends that I made, the only direct amends that wasn't accepted was my father. And I remember making amends to him, and he was like, I don't forgive you. And I was like, what? Did you hear what I said? He's like, I don't forgive you. He's like, I just want you to keep doing whatever it is you're doing. And the coolest thing about 8 and 9 is like, okay, we all were in touch with like fear of the future. Like, you know, fear of the future, fear of what's coming. Like it keeps us from getting clean. It keeps us from doing step work. It's like, but then with like the harm that we did and not wanting to make amends, I would discover that I had a fear of the past too. Because these past things that I did, I had a fear of like facing them and facing some of these people and like starting living a different way. So my father said he didn't accept it, and at first I was like taken back, but like at that point I realized like it wasn't really about that anyway. But what 8 and 9 did, and this process did, was it gave, my father and I had this relationship where we didn't talk. When I grew up, he was never here. He was out of the country, and then he would come home and he would try to be the man of the household, and I already had that position filled, I felt like. So there was all this bad blood. There were like physical fights. He got rid of all his guns because he was convinced I was going to kill him in his sleep. Like it was really bad for a long time. We would go months at a time without speaking to each other. I would just take off when I was like 15 and be gone for months at a time, not giving a shit who was worried about me. But what 8 and 9 did was it gave me the opportunity, like 6, 7, the whole process, but to get my shit out of the way. Like what I realized through this was that I never really gave him the opportunity to be the father that I wanted him to be, because I already had my mind made up that he was I had a resentment, and I reacted to that resentment all the time. So like once I got my shit out of the way, I was able to see things from a different perspective, and I was able to see things that like where he came from, the childhood that he had, like his idea and understanding of how he could love me was nothing like what I wanted or expected, my definition of love. But it was the best he had and the best he could do, and he did love me, you know. And by me being able to like work these steps and look at that differently from a different shift, we ended up building this relationship. He became my friend. He became my fishing buddy. Like we bought a boat together, and we would go out fishing and have a competition on who could catch the most fish. And my dad and I, we didn't really communicate on a lot of levels. We didn't see eye to eye politically, like, but we could go out in nature and everything was good. We could go camping, we could go out fishing, do whatever. And like, so we started connecting, and like I built this relationship, and I found out all these things about him that I never knew, that he never shared with me because I never wanted to hear it. When he died, he got sick and he died. And when he died, I was like, I was there for him. Like he had me meeting with the doctors and he was holding my hand. And I was like, with my eyes, trying to tell him not to be afraid. Trying to like let him know that it's okay. And then leaving the room and like losing my shit. And trying to compose myself. And I was like the information for everybody in the family, keeping everybody posted. And there were times in that process when I was like, who the fuck is this guy? It ain't me. You know, but it was because of this. It was because of the forgiveness for myself and for these people that I felt harmed me that changed so much for me. And another aspect too, another story that when it talks about it's important to understand rather than be understood, and like how the power of forgiveness. I found out in recovery too that like both my daughters had been sexually assaulted by one of my cousins, and I didn't know it. And every time that the family got together, my daughters were being put in harm's way, and it went on for a period of time. And he told them that if they said anything, that he threatened them or himself or whatever, and they were little kids. So they kept the secret and it ate them alive and all kinds of stuff happened. But through this process, when they finally came to me and said something, like the minute that they said something to me, then they were safe, right? And this process of forgiveness, this principle, like I had to learn that first of all, you can't protect somebody from something that already happened. So Narcotics Anonymous like teaches us this is what it is, and then what can I do? Like solution based, what can I do about this? So like I started taking my girls to get specialized therapy every week and doing what I needed to do, and then I started pursuing it in a legal matter. But what I found in this was like a prison that I was in and wanting to kill this guy. I always said, like, if anybody ever harmed my children, I would be the first person arrested for tunneling into the penitentiary to kill them. And I believed that. But what I found was that vengeance is not about loving my daughters. And my daughter said to me one time, she's like, you know, if you hurt him and go away, you're not there for us anyway. And it shifted. I had to find a way, not to forgive this dude where like we were going to sit down at lunch one day, but to forgive him to the point that it did not eat me alive with the anger, resentment, and hatred for him. So I really had to dig deep and search and that thing that always stands out to me about it, it's more important to understand than to be understood. So I tried to find the common denominator. And then the one that I found was that sickness, the totally different shortcoming, which is the action of the defect, but the defect is similar. I understand the compulsion of doing something that I don't want to do, where every fucking fiber of my body is saying, don't do this, and I can't stop. And that's why I had to make the connection. Enough that I was able to let some shit go. Fortunately, and I'd say this not jokingly, he took his life. because the pattern repeated and there were other victims and the consequences kept getting worse and worse. And so my acceptance got easier with that. I'm not happy he's dead, but some days I am. But what I found was that forgiveness for me, it's a just for today thing. I can forgive people for things, but then like they might come around and say this some dumb shit and it's right back and I gotta process it all over again and let it go and find, you know, take the steps through, find the common ground, the similarities, and like understand rather than be understood. And but it's so valuable to me because like through this process of 8 and 9, like what I found for me was that I had this level of guilt and shame that I lived with from the time I was little that I didn't even know was there. It was like my baseline. I just thought it was normal. And it wasn't until like I started doing these things and taking responsibility, facing these people, that it started being lifted. And I started feeling this freedom that I didn't think was possible because I always had it. I always felt like there was something wrong. There was something defective about me. There was something that kept me from strong eye contact with people. Something, you know, something not worthy. When I think of like that, I'm not worthy, I'm not, you know, the Wayne's World thing, but that's kind of like how I felt in a lot of ways. And so that's why I always wore these masks and I always fronted all the time. And like this step helped me so much with that. Like, you know, in our literature, it talks about like 8 and 9 giving us the freedom to actually start becoming productive members of society, because I'm no longer plagued with that stuff. And today, having made direct amends, there's not one person on this planet that if I see them, I gotta act like I don't know them, or like dip in a doorway and because of some shit that I did to them. Because even though if they forgive me or they don't forgive me, like I forgive me. Like I understand, and it's hugely important that I understand the difference between the sickness of addiction and who I am. Because if I pick up tomorrow, I'll still go back and I'll do all this stuff and I'll harm all the people and I'll do that again. But it's important for me to understand that I'm not a piece of shit. Because people, like they say in the second step, that those of us, many of us pass over this with a minimum concern only to find out that we can't work through as the steps, having not worked a thorough second step. And that's because if you don't believe, I mean, if I didn't believe that NA was the solution to my problems, I would never put the effort in that it takes to live this thing long term. I would never do it. I have to believe that it's my solution all the time, no matter what the problem is. But with 8 and 9, it's the same thing. I believe it's like that with all the steps, but if I don't thoroughly work 8 and 9, and I don't look at like trying to understand rather than be understood, and I don't look at this stuff, and I don't try to clear up the wreckage of my past and have that self-acceptance piece, then 10, 11, and 12, which comes next, is all about spiritual rewards. It's about whatever concept of a higher power you have is ready, is waiting to bless you with the greatest things in life that you can ever fucking imagine. And there's no way that me personally, that I could be open to that if I still believed in my heart that I was a piece of shit or I wasn't worthy. So this process of 8 and 9, like I let stuff go, man, and I forget. The forgiveness piece was all about me. It was all about me. I had to forgive others in order to forgive myself. But I've learned since then, and these two steps specifically helped me with that, was practicing a spiritual principle with you is practicing it with me at the same time, or else it ain't a spiritual principle. If I'm loving you and it ain't loving to me, it ain't love. If I'm being compassionate to you and it's not compassionate to me at the same time, it's probably codependency or people pleasing or some shit, but it's like, it's the truth. If I'm practicing forgiveness with you, I'm practicing it with me at the same time. Because by letting it go with you, I'm also letting it go with me. I'm giving myself that turmoil. I'm giving up on it. You know, and so, I mean, I can't even begin to like talk about the forgiveness piece. Like the people that I've let go, some of the people that like I had resentments with and issues with when I came into recovery, years down the road, I'm here and they're here, and like along the way, the forgiveness piece has happened, and we're close friends, you know, because I let shit go. I'm able to do that today. I didn't used to be that way. I used to lay in bed at night and plot up ways that I was gonna kill someone who pissed me off in second grade, you know, or like the local cop that I felt was harassing me because he wouldn't leave me alone while I was breaking the law. But in my mind, I'm like, how am I going to trap this motherfucker and take him out? You know, that's what I did with resentments. That's what they talk about. Our solutions are worse than our problems. Like, so, you know, rather than like a summary offense, my solution is murder. You know, like that's how my mind always worked. And But through this process of forgiveness and deep understanding of myself, the stuff that I've done, it makes it real hard for me to judge other people. I still do, and I still can, but not like I did before. And the thing is, I realize I'm doing it, and I'm able to let it go, you know. So like, just like all of the steps in this whole process, man, it's all about freedom. And 8 and 9 was so huge for me with like understanding it, letting it go, and like looking at my side of things, like being responsible. Cause like on social media and stuff going on with the political environment and the whole different debates going on out there, like it's so important for me not to take the bait. Because, and the bait might be my own. I could take my own bait. But the thing is, like, to be able to, like, look at what I'm doing and what I'm responsible for, which is what I do and what I say, the only things I have power over is my actions. Not even my thoughts, but my actions. Right? So it doesn't matter what anybody else does. And, like, to this day, it comes all the time. I get people coming at me left and right, personal attacks. You know, I get around my family and they all like to drink like they're at a frat party all the time, and they start to push buttons and bring up old resentments and try to throw me back into that role I always played. And it's like, this step has given me the ability to be like, nope, ain't going there. You know, I had a neighbor come out and a couple months back and try to get me to jump, man. He was on the sidewalk calling me a pussy. And I was like, there's like a twitch, but I was like, and I just like smiled at him. I was like, I hope you have a good day. And I know I could have taken this one. But it's freedom, man. There's been too many times when I ended up on a steel bench eating a bologna sandwich thinking, yeah, I showed him. Narcotics Anonymous gives us the ability to learn from our mistakes, man. Yeah, I'm so grateful for this retreat. I've been coming here a long time, and it's in like Friday night, that circle closing, that opening speaker was so good for my heart with what's going on in Narcotics Anonymous and like the toll that it's taken on our meetings and attendance. Like to see everybody like excited to get out and get together like this, man, it did my heart so good. And I love you all and thank you for listening.
Love you.